It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Hello and welcome to Eco Talk, where there is oh so much to talk about this week. Of course, Al Gore taking the stand is the big story, and cool as a cucumber, he lays out where we are headed and where we can go with the right kind of leadership, or maybe the left kind of leadership. Imagine if this guy was our president. It pains us to think of it, but you can't help but think. Well, Bush may have won that questionable court battle, but Gore has since gone on to become one of the prime architects of the plan that will win the war against climate change, or so we hope. We'll hear about what went down in both his House and Senate testimonies with Dr. Joseph Rome. Then we'll hear from another of the major figures in this green rush now sweeping the nation, Bill McKibben, the esteemed author and leader of the Step It Up 07 campaign, will join us to talk about his new book, Deep Economy, The Wealth of Communities and the Durable Future, and about April 14th, the day he's asking all of us to step it up to fight climate change creatively and with a sense of optimism. Finally, caution, you might not want to try this at your home, at least not without consulting your significant other, but Bob Tart will join us. He's the author of the new book called Foul Weather, How 39 Animals and One Sock Monkey Took Over My Life, and he spells that foul, F-O-W-L. It's quite amusing. I think you'll enjoy that. It's kind of a back to nature, back to the basics story about how one man who didn't even want a dog ended up with 39 animals, including lots of ducks and rabbits and a few other bird-type creatures. I want to jump right in with Dr. Joseph Rome, our resident energy expert, and find out what he thinks of the Gore testimony. It was a full day of climate change awareness on Capitol Hill.
Well, I thought it was great. I thought the vice president displayed a very wide-ranging knowledge, not just of the climate science, which is what An Inconvenient Truth focused on, but on the climate solutions and how technology can bring about cost-effective reductions in greenhouse gas emissions.
He called for a carbon freeze?
He called for a freeze, on an immediate freeze on carbon emissions, because he said we've just been talking about things like a cap and trade. We need to act now, and I thought that was impressive. He made a very politically provocative proposal for a revenue-neutral switch in taxation, that we should tax carbon emissions and take the revenue from that tax and use it to reduce the payroll tax.
That's a good idea.
He told the members, don't bother attacking it. He understands it's politically not very attractive.
Sort of like a gas tax. It's a great idea. It has so much logic that it'll never happen.
A lot of great proposals to stop building coal plants, a moratorium on coal plants that don't have carbon capture and storage, a date certain by which we ban incandescent bulbs, Ray's Cafe, a carbon-neutral mortgage association, a Connie Mae, to wrap energy efficiency savings into the mortgage, like so as to give incentives to mortgage dealers to have houses more efficient. So I thought it was just it was a tour de force performance, and if you can catch it online, you can go to the Energy and Public Works, Senate Energy and Public Works Committee, and I think it'll be online there, and in the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and I think C-SPAN
three.
Is covering it.
It's three. At least that's where I was watching it. Yeah, and I was in and out as I was able, and it was a tour de force, and yet it started out kind of ridiculously with Joe Barton trying to rearrange the seating and kind of scolding Gore for not getting his homework in on time.
Yes, it was. I wrote down this one word, shrill. That seems to me what Barton and Inhofe was even worse,
oh, yeah.
I thought.
And shrill is a good word because that's what they usually call the alarmist environmentalists.
Inhofe tried, he wanted Gore to answer these yes or no questions in order to force Gore to somehow admit, would he sign a pledge that Gore's house wouldn't use more energy than a regular average American's house? And Gore tried to explain to him that it's okay if you use more energy as long as it's renewable, so it's pollution-free. So he said, you know, we get green power for our house, and we're going to install a photovoltaic system. And Inhofe failed to understand this because, and I hate to say this, but the conservatives always say the only way to solve global warming is to force people to use less energy. And no, you want to use energy more wisely, yes, but you can use green power. And Gore, I thought, was very clear on that. And Inhofe just didn't get it. I thought it was very unimpressive.
And don't you think in a very kind of subtle or maybe not so subtle way, part of what was accomplished was just, you know, seeing and hearing many Republicans, I would say they were probably skeptics before and probably still are, but I heard one, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it was. I was running around the house as I was listening, but he was saying, well, we all know, and it was almost like he was choking on these words, we all know global warming is real and that humans are causing it, but what we don't know is if your alarming forecasts about having 5 to 10 years to turn it around are accurate, or what we, you know, need to do about it and what that will cost our economy. It seems like it did move the ball forward. No one, I think, would dare sit there and say we're questioning whether global warming is real anymore. They may have thought it, but I think there might have been a shift there on the part of some of the skeptics.
I think that these hearings are part, you know, of Gore's, you know, it's really a defining moment. What he kind of, Senator Lieberman said that he thought we were at a political tipping point. Gore said he didn't think we were quite there, but because I think he realizes there's one more shoe to drop, and that's the next. You know, if we're stuck with the wrong president for another 2 years. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right that in the face of Gore's breadth of knowledge, the few lingering skeptics like Barton and Inhofe just sound increasingly irrelevant. And I thought Gore made a very important point when he said he had just come back from England, and in England, you know, the Conservative Party, the Tories, they don't dispute global warming science. They're actually in a race to come up with the best proposals.
What a concept!
You know, and they've actually criticized Tony Blair for not taking strong enough action. So
ironic.
There's just a wide gap between what it means to be a conservative and believe in conservation in England compared to the United States.
And Tony Blair supposedly understood the danger of global warming and never took the chance to lean on George Bush sufficiently at G8 and other gatherings. So ironic that now he's being leaned on. So what about CAFE standards? I think that came up, and also some mention of the Electranet. Is that something else that Al Gore has invented, like the Internet?
Well, you know, if there ever is an Electranet, Gore may get the credit for naming it. Yes, he spoke in both hearings about this Electranet, which would be a smart grid, an electric utility system capable of allowing millions of homeowners to generate their own power with photovoltaics and requiring utilities to take it back. Really, the utility of the future, an electricity version of the Internet. So I thought that was very intriguing. And yes, Ray's CAFE, he was quite clear because he was testifying first in front of John Dingell from Michigan, who's been a big skeptic.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Of CAFE. He wanted to be very clear, you don't just do CAFE. Cars are not the whole problem, but they're part of the problem, and they should be part of any major economy-wide bill.
So since we've been trying to figure out exactly where Dingell stands on the issue of climate change and energy issues, what's your take after hearing him pretty frequently throughout the day?
I think, you know, he didn't make an opening statement, which was quite interesting. I think that my impression was that he understands there's been a shift. And I think in the negotiations with Speaker Pelosi about this new House committee that Ed Markey is chairing, mm-hmm. that's devoted just to energy security and global warming, he sees the writing on the wall. He's going to defend the auto industry's interests, I think, and work to weaken any CAFE bill. But I don't think he is going to stand in the way of an economy-wide bill in the House on global warming, because he understands it's inevitable.
So what now? What happens next?
Well, I think what happens next is we're going to see there have been so many bills introduced in the House and Senate that someone has sort of got to get everyone together on the same page and come up with a bill. I think on the basis of Senator Inhofe's comments, he hasn't budged at all. So, you know, he may filibuster, and in that case, he'll be staking the future of the conservative movement on global warming, which is crazy. I actually think that this could destroy the conservative movement. If they block action that could have avoided catastrophic warming, then they will rightly be blamed. In the House, I'm sure we will see legislation because the House doesn't require a 60%. So I'm sure we will see some strong bill come out of the House. Hopefully it can get through the Senate. But, you know, Bush is probably going to veto it if it's too strong. So we may have to have this debated in the presidential campaign and have the next president sign this piece of legislation.
So I guess we can wonder whether it'll be Inhofe or Bush who is the last remaining dinosaur. Well, I think Al Gore did a big service in moving the ball forward in a significant way with his congressional testimony. And also, we haven't even touched on the irony and the emotionality of the day and the significance for Al Gore personally.
Well, it was just a terrific piece, and I just commend anybody to go see it. I mean, even if you've seen An Inconvenient Truth, because there was more of a back and forth on the solutions and his position on nuclear power, and he just answered all the tough questions, I thought.
Thank you so much, Dr. Joseph Rome, for your comments. Insightful as always. We'll be back right after these messages.